This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 317 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, once again, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender.
I thought I'd start the show with a song called Photograph.
Oh.
Maybe every week I might start the show with a song to do with photography.
Right.
That should last about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But it's Kodachrome by Paul Simon.
Yeah. Photograph by Nickelback.
I'm kind of pleased to say I have no idea of any Nickelback. It's just showing what kind of human being you actually are to know Nickelback, my friend. Aren't they known as the most hated band in the world?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, just checking.
Freeze Frame, Jay Giles Band.
Oh, remember that one? Yeah. Yeah. My Girlfriend is a Centerfold. I mean, no, was that one? No.
Yeah, Centerfold by Jay Giles Band as well.
It's not really a photograph, but it was about a photo.
Girls on Film, Duran Duran.
Who could ever forget that film clip?
Ah.
No, I can't. It's a young lad. Four is a good thing in the film clip.
So how was Perth?
It was warmish.
Yeah.
It was like 36, 37 every day, which
nice.
Is not massive. But the good thing about shooting down in Fremantle, if you get down near the water, there's always the afternoon wind.
Ah, the Fremantle and Doctor.
The Fremantle Doctor. And yeah. It's as reliable as the 907 from Flinders Street.
That's it.
Which is not necessarily reliable. But you get down there, at least you're hot, but at least the wind's sort of cooling you down.
Yep.
And it's a dry heat. So it's like Melbourne, it's a dry heat. So it's not like you're sweating in the humidity all the time.
Right.
Which I think you've been having a bit this week. Is that
Oh, yeah. Correct? Yep. It's been warm this week.
And humid.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. We only live, one city apart.
Yeah.
One major city apart in the country.
Which is 1,000 kilometres away.
Yeah. But, I mean, we don't have humidity, or very rarely, and you swamp by it. It's only 1,000 kilometres. It's amazing how different the world is.
Yeah. But I think you guys being sort of on the southern edge of the continent, you get those trade winds across from South Africa, just like Perth does, which is why you and Perth are, both have low humidity, where Sydney just doesn't get that.
So. No. Where's your humidity come from? Up? Does your hot weather come from north?
I don't know. I just think it's to do with the prevailing winds.
Yeah, if you have when you have a hot day, is it a southerly wind or a northerly wind or an easterly wind? Look, you're going to do some research, my friend.
This is not a weather podcast.
These questions may be unprepared for, but no, we want a decent answer. Because we know here, if you live in Western Australia, if you get the wind coming off the west, it's coming off the ocean, so it's a bit cooler.
Yeah.
If you have it coming from the east, it's coming from inland, so it's going to be hot.
No, if it's coming
from Victoria, if it's coming from the
you mean in the east? If it's coming from the west, it's coming.
It's coming from the east, I said.
Oh, in Western Australia, if it's coming from the east, yes, it's coming.
And then in Victoria, if it's coming from the north, it's going to be hot, and if it's coming from the south, it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought that little bit of geography was. But before we go any further, speaking of Perth, you have to welcome Mick Lee.
We do, Michael Lee. Welcome
aboard.
We have
a new listener.
Fantastic.
Well, you might only last an episode. You've got a new listener.
And he's also signed up for Pass the Camera Project number 2.
He has. Doesn't always let himself in for, does he?
Which I notice you haven't put your name down for.
Oh, I thought I was just a given.
Oh, right. Okay.
Do I got it, Bruce? Do I got
no,
it?
No, you don't have to. I will assume that you're on board.
I was just assuming I would be. I did 4 workshops in Western Australia in 45 hours, which was kind of fun. 2 nudes, a flash, and a natural light.
Awesome.
Which was just reasonably full on.
Yeah, right.
I think I broke poor Seng, my Western Australian friend. He's not used to working quite so hard.
Right.
Me was another day in the office.
Right.
Because when I travel, I do a lot of workshops in a short period of time, and he's just not quite used to that.
Right.
but I tell you what, though, the people just plain horrible. No, lovely. They were just lovely people.
Excellent.
There's a couple of prats in there, but most of them were okay. I got me a new bag. I ordered a new suitcase.
Right.
And it arrived the day after I came back from travel, of course.
Fantastic.
Which is the way, isn't it? But I've got myself a rolling duffel bag rather than a normal suitcase.
Oh, okay. Yep.
but it opens up like a it bifolds out like a suitcase.
Oh, okay.
And it's compartmentalized, and it's got shelves. It's got all sorts. Oh, it's cracking.
Right.
Crackin' lackin'. So now I have to wait for my next trip to put it to use.
Yeah, right.
But it would have been nice to have taken to Perth, but yeah, just one day out. So that was kind of cool. That was an exciting bit of my week. And then I watched a documentary on the plane on the way over to Perth.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to watch for 2 years and never got around to it.
Right.
And it's been sitting on my iPad for 2 years to watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so I finally watched it, and I loved it so much, I made my wife watch it last night.
Right.
It wasn't the night before, recently.
Okay. And what was it called?
It's music. It's nothing to do with photography. But,
right.
Searching for Sugarman. Sugarman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, about Rodriguez.
Yeah, just awesomeness.
Really?
Just awesomeness. Yeah, so much. I've got all of his albums now on my phone.
Wow.
All two of them. it's an amazing story for those who haven't heard it, about this guy who recorded an album in Detroit in 1970.
Yeah.
And it sold nothing.
Right.
And he recorded a second album in 1971, sold even less.
Right.
Disappeared. That's the end of him.
Right.
But someone actually did buy that album in 1970 and went to visit a boyfriend in South Africa, and they all started playing the album. They all liked it so much, they wanted to buy it. Couldn't buy it anywhere, so they started making copies of it on tapes.
Oh, wow.
And because it became, during the height of apartheid and the country was effectively closed off,
yeah,
he had this massive success.
In Africa.
He was bigger than Elvis, right? Apparently, the three albums in every record collection in the 1970s in South Africa were The Beatles' Abbey Road, Simon and Garfunkel's Sounds of Silence, or whatever it was called.
Right.
And this Rodriguez album.
Wow.
So this guy was the soundtrack. And apparently, they even credit him to inspiring the young musicians to get up and sing against apartheid and start the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa.
Wow.
This guy was just enormous.
That's awesome.
But no one ever heard of it.
Wow.
Yeah. And so if anyone has a bit of a music interest or even just a good story, definitely the story's amazing. It goes on from there, and it's definitely worth looking into. So I love it. So, and the music's fabulous, which is – the music is sort of inside it, I hear – Bob Dylan.
Right.
I hear Deep Purple.
Okay.
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Radiohead.
Right.
Early rap.
Right.
1970. Wow. So, and incredible. Just an amazing arrangement. Because, it's like you hear an album from 1970 and it sounds old and dated.
Yeah.
And the recording process doesn't sound particularly exciting.
No.
The production value on these two no-hit wonders is fabulous.
Yeah, right.
It's like the quality and the fact that it's got violins and strings and stuff. And there's something. Well, someone just put some money into this project.
Yeah.
And not got it back.
Wow.
So definitely worth having a listen to.
Okay.
And then today I spent a day doing a one-on-one. This is the most bizarre one-on-one I've ever done.
Why?
It was teaching a guy how to photograph, how to get flash shots right quickly of kangaroos that have been hit by a car and lying on the side of the road dying.
Right.
And he needs to get in there and shoot them, photograph them quickly before they get shot, literally.
Right.
So shoot before shot.
Well, that requires him to actually be there soon after they were hit by a vehicle.
Yes.
How does that happen?
Usually what happens when they get called hit by a vehicle, someone calls the local ranger.
Oh, okay.
The local ranger. This is all on Kangaroo Island, which is off.
Right.
And there's this massive problem of roos being hit at night by tourists.
Yep.
That is not used to. So he's doing this project to try and raise awareness and save lives. And
because the tourists never considered that there might be kangaroos on Kangaroo Island.
But if you've never been exposed to kangaroo. And in fact, funnily enough, we're talking today about the problem with the kangaroo's warning sign. It's a yellow, lovely rectangle with a kangaroo on it.
Yes.
So it's like. And if it says, 3 kilometres, people go, oh, great, I'm going to see a kangaroo in 3 kilometres.
Right.
Or looking for kangaroo, but they're not looking for it for danger's sake, they're looking at it for entertainment's sake.
Yeah, right.
If you're a tourist, you're, oh, where's the kangaroo for me to look at? These people in Tasmania have come up with a new kangaroo sign, which is basically a car with a crumpled bonnet.
Right.
And a kangaroo going boing, being bounced up into the air off the car.
Right.
That's their new kangaroo warning sign.
That's probably more appropriate.
It's a little bit more visually knowledgeable. And you think, well, why hadn't someone thought about this a long time ago? you know. Anyway, yeah. so that was a challenging day. Trying to do things, you know, fast and you know, run into position.
So
then trying to deal with all the problems. Is the funniest thing. Trying to say, well, you know, a kangaroo is not just going to lay there. You know, it might be in the bushes. In and how do you get a flash in and light them and maybe rim light them and, you know, use multiple flashes?
Is he,
how
do you get? Is the he trying to do a fashion shoot or is he trying to do forensic stuff?
It's not forensic. No, it's actually he wants National Geographic quality. This guy's a head of the World Wildlife Fund in Australia.
Right.
He wants, you know, really high end imagery.
So he wants the images to look sexy.
Not sexy.
Well, from photographically sexy.
Yeah.
That's what he's after.
Yeah.
Okay. And of kangaroos dying.
And so, of course, yeah. Well, so to get the impact, you know, literally.
Right.
But you know, kangaroo, it might be laying in the bush somewhere. It's hard to get your lighting in and stuff, you know, yeah. Or whatever it may yeah. be. So we're chasing his cat around the backyard. And his cat's going in bushes. It's not cooperating. It's got its back to us. So, yeah, there's a real life challenge.
Well, you need to break its back legs so that it's, yeah.
It was definitely a funny afternoon, one-on-one day. It was.
Oh, dear.
But the loveliest of people. Both him and his wife both used to downhill ski for Australia.
Oh, wow.
And, but lovely, lovely, lovely people. So, right. And I've got to tell you, he showed me some of his photos from like down Antarctica. He's on a quest to photograph all the species of penguins in the world.
Wow.
And he's got a fair whack of them already. And some of his photos are, he's National Geo quality. It's beautiful stuff.
Yeah, you know? Right.
So he's definitely wow. got the eye. He's definitely got the eye and the talent. And I was there just to show him the speed, just quietly between me and you. I think he might have more talent than I got by a lot. But he's also like in his mid-50s and retired, so he's got time to do his own thing and get good at photography. I mean, I'm so busy.
Yeah, right.
So how was your week, my friend?
It's been
fabulous.
Yeah, it's been, all over the shop. But we had meetup number 30.
Oh, you did?
Last weekend.
Haven't seen any photos.
Well, you haven't looked.
That could be it. They're on your Facebook, are they?
Yeah.
On your Facebook?
Well, there was a link from my Facebook to my photography website where they are. But interesting story, right? I'd not realised at the time that I scheduled this shoot for last Saturday that was also the day of the first birthday party for my nephew.
And
when Kath brought it to my attention, I was like, I don't want to go to that. You know, it's never about the 1-year-old, it's only about the parents.
The 1-year-old tends not to remember it.
No, exactly. So I was not all that fussed, but anyway, I got dragged along. So the thing was, Desiree, who we've shot with before, had asked me, can we do a shoot with a horse?
Oh, that's right.
And I'd gone, I'll see what I can organise. So I'd organised all this, you know, got the venue, got, you know, 5 other photographers all signed up, and about four days before the shoot.
Yeah, she pulls out.
Oh, yeah. Says, I can't do it, I've got to work.
She's seen your work.
She's seen my work. She loves my work.
I thought they were going to be watching.
So then there's this mad scramble on my part. Well, what I did was I posted to the Facebook group and I said, look, this is what has happened. Des can't make it. We either A, find another model and continue with the agreed time and date. B, move it back to the Sunday afternoon when Desiree will be able to do it. C, cancel it completely. D, reschedule, but I can't do anything until the 12th.
Get past all that crap and get on to what happened.
Say what?
Get past all that crap and get on to what happened.
So anyway, I reached out to a model, 17-year-old.
You bored me at hello.
5 minutes away. She goes, oh, I absolutely love it. I'd love to be there. You know, what do you want me to bring? Blah, 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 blah. So I thought, you beauty. Now, on top of all of this, the woman who owned the property told me she had a 17-year-old daughter who had done some modelling and was keen to do some more. And I said, well, look, if she's around on the day, she's more than welcome to come and join us. We'd love to have her. We'll shoot her. And it'd be great to have her as the horse wrangler because she knows the horses. So the Saturday comes. I'm down in Sydney for this first birthday party and I get a text from my replacement model saying, I'm really, really sick. I don't know if I'm going to be able to shoot this afternoon. And I'm thinking, oh, Christ. But then the text goes on, but I've found you a replacement model. Oh.
Well, that's pretty good.
Here's some photos of it. And I thought, okay, so that's a bonus. Right?
Well, at least you went and it should put some effort in it.
Exactly. So anyway, so we come back to the Central Coast. I drop Kath and Max at home and pick up Prashant from the railway station, and we head off to the shoot. We're the last two to arrive. Everyone else is there. Speak to the woman that owns the place. She says, oh, your two models are down at the cattle yards. I'm thinking, my two models? Yeah. So we head on down to the cattle yards where all the other photographers are, and there's the sick replacement model and the replacement model. Oh. So I said to the sick one, I said, what are you doing here? Yeah, you shouldn't have bothered coming. And she said, oh, I really wanted to see what was going to happen. And, you know, I was like, okay. And she was in serious pain. Like, she had abdominal pain, and she said she was having to go off for ultrasounds and whatever. So, yeah, so anyway, we're standing there looking at what we've got to shoot with, and the next thing I see, 17-year-old guy with 17-year-old girl on the back of a quad bike coming up towards the cattle yards. I'm thinking, okay, this must be the daughter. She was absolutely gorgeous. And so we shot with them, the pair of them, for about an hour. And then the daughter says, oh, I've got to go because I'm off to a birthday party. So I said, okay, no worries. Thanks for, you know, horse wrangling, and we'll do another shoot with you at some point in the future. Because the light on Saturday was crap. It was horrid. It was just thick, grey, overcast muck. It was like the world's biggest softbox. It was just so diffuse flat. So anyway, after she left, we headed off down the back of the farm to where there was this lake or dam with water lilies on it.
Great looking dam. Oh, there's water lilies on that one.
Did a couple of bits and pieces until the light faded on us, and then we called it quits. But I was very pleased that my sick model was able to find me another model to stand in, because it could have been.
No, I love looking at that lake with the water lilies on there. Now, I love the way you've used the water lilies in the photos.
Yes, no, we didn't. That's right. It took me a while because I'm not looking at the images at the moment.
That's an unaffected piece of slush water or whatever it is. And it's a beautiful lake with the water lilies on it. Yeah, you've used them well.
I did. The woman that owned the place had told me about the water lily, so that's why I enticed everyone to go for the walk down, because it was like an 800-meter walk in each direction. So we've walked down there, but when I got down there, the water lilies were, you know, yes, you had to look over all the slush.
Technically, they're water lilies, yeah.
Yes, and to get them in a shot, you would have had much more ugly slush in the foreground in order to have the water lilies in the background. So that's why I didn't bother. So, yeah, so it was an interesting day.
Well, you know, you have them.
Yeah, exactly.
You seem to have them a lot.
Yeah.
You do have them. Oh, that lake is just terrible.
Yeah, I know. So anyway.
Terrible. But I do like sort of one of them's okay.
Oh, one of them? Which one?
The one of the girl who's obviously the 17-year-old girl.
Right.
With the with the fences going off into the horizon.
Oh,
the back.
Okay, yep.
That's nice. No, the flash creating that big shadow on the hand would have been a problem. I would have moved the hand not to have that shadow there.
Right.
But I like your framing, and that of best of all the images that you've got there. So it's the most interesting.
Oh, thank you.
For me. I mean, not, you know, when I'm saying that, you know what I'm saying, is the best of a bad bunch. it's the least worst, honestly, Bruce. It's
the least worst.
Some of the ones when they're playing with the horse is okay, but yeah, I think that is as far as certainly.
You know what they say: never work with animals and children.
Anyway, so what have we got in our plate for the week, my friend? Oh, well, first up, I've got something.
Oh, okay.
Richard Bloody Ingram.
Oh,
last week we didn't
give him enough airtime.
Quality information last week. We supported him. We encouraged him. We cajoled and, we did so much for that man.
We had his financial interests at heart.
And then once he came back, he didn't answer the second question.
Well, the thing is, if he took on board what we did answer, the second half was moot.
Exactly. Well, not really, because that's why one of these two. Hey? It was trying to confirm if he kept his nick on and looking at, does he want a 24-120 or a 28-300?
Yeah, but either way, it's about spending more money.
But either way,
and we told him not to spend more money.
Either way, he didn't tell us what he wanted to use them for.
Well, there you
don't use a 28-300 for pro work.
There you go. We can string this out to a third episode, Richard.
Yeah, tell us what you want to use them for.
It's a
more versatile travel lens. And the 24-120 is probably a better lens for the pro work. And it's a constant f4 aperture.
Right.
So 24-120 is good all around portrait wide lens for,
buy both.
For wedding stuff. Well, yeah, the money we saved in last week, you probably can afford to.
So, Richard,
tell us what you want to use them for. Batter up for week number three. He'll be on episode 4-1. I'm still talking about this. Now, my guy today, he came out with a bloody good idea.
Right.
He was in the publicity world for a while. He came out with a bloody good. He said he'd love to be able to get onto his camera and delete stuff off of the menus that he doesn't use.
Yeah.
All this page after page of stuff that you never use.
Yep.
Just delete the ones that are no relevance to him.
Yep.
Be able to put it back on, like through firmware, if you decide you need to, but be able to go through and make those menus really simple just by deleting 3/4 of the crap.
Yeah. And because, that would not be hard to do.
How could it be?
Like, if the manufacturers wanted to offer that would be so
simple.
They don't
even have to delete it. They could just hide.
Yeah.
They should be able to hide stuff.
Yep.
Just even better than Doug's idea, so I'm one up now, Doug. That way you don't have to get a firmware to put it back in again. You just go unhide.
Yeah, right.
You should be able to go and just hide stuff. I'm never going to do video, hide, hide, hide.
Yeah.
I'm never going to do HDR, hide, hide, hide. I don't want to use the Wi-Fi, hide.
Yeah.
Bang. All of a sudden, your menus are down to half a dozen things.
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't it, though?
Yeah.
Simplify the damn tool we're using, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm never going to take it off RAW, so I'm just going to delete all those from the JPEG options.
Yeah, yeah, all the picture profiles that I'm never going to use.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be very happy with that.
I was suitably impressed.
Nice.
Yes.
I saw something on Facebook from one of my friends, a photographer up in Alaska.
One of your what?
One of my friends.
Friends?
Photographer up in Alaska.
You have an Alaskan friend?
I do. Guy by the name of David Taylor.
And does he listen to our podcast?
Sorry?
Does he listen to our podcast?
No, I don't think so. I haven't told him about it. I only became friends with him two or three months ago. And
he's an internet friend.
Just an internet friend. Yeah. I reached out to him because he's based very close to Anchorage, and we are planning to go to Anchorage in about 3 years' time, and so I thought, it'd be good to have a contact up there.
Better sow the seeds early.
That's it. Exactly.
Build for him.
But I saw him post something as a status message through the week, and I thought it was absolutely epic. This is what he said. Recommendation to photographers. Don't ask people if they like a black and white version or a color version of the same photograph. Whose vision are you trying to fulfill? It isn't your art if you expect it to be vetted by someone else. The choices you make, exposure, depth of field, lens selection, filter use, post-production, etc., these are your creative choices, and they determine how others view and receive your work. Decide for yourself, share, and let go. But share your vision. Don't cater to someone else's. Be an artist. And I thought that was so cool.
It's succinct.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Stop that crappy bloody, what do you think? Black and white colours, sepia, cyanotype, every other possible combination you can think of.
Yeah. I got an email through the week from a company called, I don't know what the company's called, but they're releasing a product soon called Stand In Baby. And essentially they reached out to me and said, we'd love it if you gave us a plug on the podcast. Basically what they're doing is...
Hang on a sec, we want free babies.
No, you know, don't. It's only a stand-in baby.
I want a free stand-in baby,
So
when you would park in the pram and infant spot at the shopping centre? I need a standing baby for that.
I don't think this will get you that. So basically, this thing is a 3D model of a newborn that you could, like a clothing model, but you it's yep. got arms and legs that you can position, and it's designed as a training tool for photographers who want to shoot newborns and infants, but you don't necessarily want to be practicing on a real baby while you learn your skills. So basically, yeah, they've got a Facebook group and a Facebook page, and they're going to be kicking off a Kickstarter project in December of this year, 2015. So
also, you can make sure you join the community at closed Facebook group according to their website.
Right. So yeah, so I thought, oh, that's interesting. I'll
the give website is non-existent at the moment, which is other than the Facebook page.
Yeah,
I wonder how big it is.
Well. Presumably, it's, you know, the size of your average newborn baby.
Oh, there's a video. Look at that.
Don't go playing it now.
Why not? Oh, is this a video? That one too? Oh, stop that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they can kill 10 minutes of the podcast, though, dude. We'll just have that running in the background. We'll go get a coffee.
Yeah.
I've texted it to my friend, the phenomenal baby photographer, Kristen Cook.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, I've seen it. It's hilarious. Oh, is that I misread? Yeah, I've seen that. It's hideous.
Oh, right. Okay, I don't think this is the exposure they were looking for.
Oh, well, they didn't send us a baby, did they? How did they even hear about that? Have they listened to our podcast?
I have no idea. They probably just...
Well, if they've listened, they wouldn't have said, they wouldn't have said, yeah, please promote it.
Oh, dear.
Well, I think they really should. I'll tell you what, they should send one to me.
Yeah.
I'll give it to Kristen to play with because right. she does newborn photography workshops around the world.
Yeah.
Right? So it would be a good teaching tool for her, I would imagine. In all seriousness now, when she's running these workshops, not having to rely on pulling in. Yeah, I'm sure she'll pull in babies, but when she needs to do some demonstrations outside of when the babies are ready to actually be shot, she's got the tool. Yeah.
She won't have to pack an infant in the suitcase.
When I was teaching her, I had to teach her, she hired me for a day to teach her some lighting, the studio lighting.
Right.
Because she's a natural light shooter, so I was teaching her some studio lighting to emulate her look. And we couldn't get a baby of the right age.
Right.
So I brought a couple of my littlest daughter's dolls along, but they were just too big.
Oh, really?
I asked about size. Because, I mean, most of these babies that are shot are between the 9 and 15-day-old period.
Yeah.
Anything beyond that, they're not much good for anything.
Yeah.
It's for the next 21 years.
And that was one thing that I immediately thought, was the fact that this is going to be a one-size-only, you know, mannequin/doll.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know, the flexibility and malleability of the doll makes it useful for learning the poses, but even if the size is not exactly the size of what you're going to be shooting. But anyway.
But it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should send us one.
Okay. I'll send her a message and go, Glenn wants one.
We'll split it in half a baby each. Send it to me. I'll pass it on and we'll get a proper review.
Okay. All right. All right.
So
I will send the message back to them.
Oh, I just got an email from the guy who did the one-on-one for today.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I thought the day went pretty hard. It was a tough gig. You know, I thought it was pretty hard to try and teach. And we're going from hail to rain to sunshine to hail to all within the space of 3 minutes. Right?
Yeah,
it was as I call them, the weather was changeable. Was my description. Thanks for a great day. I've already purchased 1/8 CTO gels, a squashable softbox. It was really good. And whilst I'm still shit, I think I know I'm much more about why and can fix it.
Oh, dear.
Oh, you were not only generous with your time, I gave him an extra hour.
Yeah.
However, thanks for leaving me the Godox ProPack PB960 on the outside table as a surprise gift.
Oh, whoops. So you got to go back for that.
However, you have not left me the Nikon cable. Oh, that's funny. That's so funny. Anyway, all good.
All right. So
it's funny. So I think I'm having a bad day. He's having a good day. Funny stuff. So, yeah, so the baby, yeah, tell him, I'm serious, they should send one to me. And we'll get Kristen to have a play.
Yep.
Just to get a feel for her, someone who's actually an extremely experienced baby shooter to see what, I don't know, viability, usability, problems.
Yep.
Stuff.
Yep.
Should do a favour for me and do that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll take her out for lunch. Tell them to send me $20 to take her out for lunch and the baby. We don't do these expensive lunches. Next.
Mackers. Adam sent us in a couple of stories. One from Petapixel. This was the world's brightest flashlight.
I saw that.
Can light the world with 9,000 lumens of light. Basically, this guy's got a whole bunch of 100-watt LED panels. I think it was about 10 of them. So it came to 1,000 watts, and then he's done some funky electronic stuff that ramps up the output. Can only run them for about 5.5 minutes at a time, or they overheat. And he's got these massive heat sinks on the back of each light panel. So he's ended up with this bar that's about 2 feet wide and 6 inches high, and it weighs, what do you say, 10 pounds, so about 3.5 kilos or thereabouts. And yeah, the light it throws out is just phenomenal. So I'm not sure exactly what he's going to use that for, but it was pretty epic, the amount of light it could throw out. The next one was another petapixel shot. This shot of a diving kingfisher was 6 years and 720,000 photos in the making.
4,200 hours.
Yeah. So you had this on yours, and Reg also sent it as well. So,
g'day, Reg. It was lovely to catch up with you on the weekend, my friend.
Yep, cool.
It was. So I'd say that.
Pretty a nice image, but I'm thinking for that investment of time, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not that good, is it? I'm not going to get done that with my iPhone.
It's not like perfectly symmetrical. I mean, it was pretty damn good. And I love the fact that the beakers pierced the water,
yeah, just.
But it hasn't splashed yet.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So, I mean, they've already got four on either side of that where it's just not quite perfect.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Man, but 720. Then let's face it, that's about six SLRs worth of shutters.
Yeah.
Been blown out.
Yeah.
All trying to achieve one shot.
Just trying to get one photo.
And he's never going to be able to sell it to get the money back on the six cameras he's killed.
No, that's right. Not now, he's put it up for free on the web.
There's no as queer as folk.
Exactly. And the last one from Adam, Nikon will increase lens prices in Europe up to 30%, I think it is, come January of next year. Now, I don't know what their motivation for this is, but...
Profit?
yeah, or trying to dig themselves out of a hole. Yeah. But,
well, yeah, they're all in. Considering it's less than glowing financial reports, Nikon will be. Well, obviously, that could be why they have to increase the prices, because of the less than glowing financial reports.
But really, I don't know how the market's going to react to that.
It depends on which one. I mean, if we're talking about
the lenses are listed.
The range is between 4% and 29.4%.
Yep.
Right. So let's face it. If all the most popular lenses only went up 4%.
Well. Just scrolling up and down the list, the majority of the percent rises are into double digits.
Okay, so it's the camera and lens kits as well. Well, it's in the 750. So
there's only about half a dozen that are under 10%. So, yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, well, good luck with that, Nikon.
You can't keep giving stuff away.
Apparently not.
Remember, the thing is, I mean, what do these lenses fit onto?
Well, Nikon cameras, I guess.
Which Nikon cameras?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not a Nikon aficionado.
The answer, my friend, is not mirrorless.
In the wind, hey? What?
Is not mirrorless and not Micro Four Thirds.
Right. They're all 35mm.
Or
APS-C.
Yeah. Which is not selling.
What, either of them?
No, that range of cameras, 35mm and APS-C size cameras, are a massively shrinking market.
Right.
So if it's a massively shrinking market and you've got to make a lot less lenses because you're not selling as much.
Yeah.
But you're still going to make the damn things. So it costs more to make because you're making less. Right.
Supply.
So at some point it's going to have to. They'll all probably do the same thing.
Yeah. Right.
Interesting, but it kind of inevitable. Which brings me on to a little thing on my list, which if we go any further, because it's going to do with Canon, this to do with Nikon.
Yeah.
Do you know Canon tried to buy Sigma?
No.
I didn't know this either. Canon apparently tried to, at the moment, they're looking to acquire imaging companies for growth. because there's no growth in the products they've got.
When you say imaging companies,
they're looking for people who's got stuff that's probably worthwhile buying.
So imaging in the sense of Sigma being a lens manufacturer.
But they're also a sensor manufacturer, aren't they?
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they do the Foveon.
Oh, okay.
Right. So I was in a television advert for the Foveon X3 image sensor.
Yeah, I think you might have mentioned that once before.
I've got to get the video up on YouTube. So it's fabulous.
You're living in the past, man. Move on. Build a bridge. Get over it.
They say that, you know, maybe they weren't looking to buy them for the lenses, but maybe looking more to... Oh, there were two things. One, to looking at because of their sensors, and also because of their experience in making lenses to fit Micro Four Thirds and all the other stuff, which Canon obviously don't do.
Right.
And if they bought a company that had growth in that area, they could, you know, keep the Sigma name going.
Yep.
And sell gear for people other than just Canon, maybe make some money. Right. But yeah, it's interesting.
Mm. So why did the attempted purchase fall through?
Sigma said nah.
Right. As in Canon just weren't asking or like offering enough money?
Or the guy who's running Sigma at the moment, his goal is to make them the best lens manufacturer in the world. He's basically saying, well, you know, if you come aboard, that's not us anymore.
Yeah, right.
So, we're not interested. We just want to do our thing.
Wow.
Wow. So, fair enough.
Okay.
Hmm.
All right. Well, I had a couple of things from Reg. One was an everyday camera bag called the Messenger Bag that raised nearly $5 million for Peak Design, I'm assuming through a Kickstarter-type project.
Damn.
That's a heck of a lot of money to raise just for the development of a camera bag.
It is.
Yeah.
I saw this bag before. It's the Trey Ratcliffe bag. There we are.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
what I hear about this bag, it's got massive dynamic range.
I was going to say, does it come in a range of gaudy colours?
And with a halo around the outside. Yeah, that's right. Oh, we are such snobs.
We are. Oh,
disgraceful. If you're listening, Trey, or Mrs. Trey, or Trey's mum, you mean everything we say. unless you're suing us, defamation or something, then it was Bruce.
Thanks for that.
Isn't this podcast under your name?
Thrown under the bus.
Completely under your name, this podcast. Isn't it illegal? So if we slander someone, the only person they can sue is you. Good stuff.
So anyway, that link will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to read up on that.
What's that thing special about this bag and why people get excited?
No, I don't get it. But anyway, there you go. Each to their own.
After a little slide that you can show with a flap open and a flap closed.
Yeah, and the other one from Reg was a new video from Peter Hurley, which I thought was interesting. I admittedly only got about halfway through it because I was at work.
That guy, yeah.
He does great head and shoulder portraits. I will give him that. And this was called, he called this video Hold Your Sub, and it's all about the way you get your models to hold their arms when doing a head and shoulders shot so as to, you know, we've all heard the adage that the camera adds 20 pounds. Well, this is a positional thing that helps to reduce the size and apparent bulk of the shoulders and the top of the torso. So I'll let everyone go and watch the video so you don't get me... Yeah, misconstruing the information.
Don't watch the video. Just look at the one picture and go, okay, just put your arms like that.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, thank you for that, Reg.
Funny, Reggie.
All right, that's me done.
You're done, like a dog's dinner. Well, here's the thing. Yeah. Canon USA is looking at suing stores that are selling grey market product.
On what basis?
Grey market thing. On basis that they own the trademark in the country. So the products are infringing upon its US trademark for the Canon brand. And that Canon USA is the exclusive licensee of the Canon brand for the US market.
Whoa.
So third parties, they're not only suing, they're also suing for loss of income, all sorts of stuff.
Wow.
They're suing them that part. They're suing them for things like things that aren't up to code, like cheap photocopies of manuals, accessories that are not compliant with local regulations.
Wow.
All this sort of stuff. So they're going to town on them.
That could be quite pivotal if they win that.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, only for Canon USA. Canon Japan don't really care, do they?
No, but the point is it will start a landslide.
Yeah.
You know, if Canon manages to pull that off, it will cause a landslide where all the other manufacturers will jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
Because they'll go, well, there's prior, you know, not art, but, you know, when another complaint has been held, you know, done through a court and won, then they'll go, well, there's precedent.
Precedent, that's the word, the P word.
Yes.
So that was kind of interesting.
Wow.
Now, I saw this during the week. I thought it was just fabulous. Have you seen this viral video of this Irish father whose son gave him, I think we talked about it, son gave him the GoPro camera. And he's filmed the whole thing backwards.
Yeah.
Well, this company in America have gone walking around as a shoe retailer, has gone walking around the places he was walking around in Vegas.
Right.
Pointed the camera the right way.
Are you kidding?
So you can see what he was trying to shoot.
Oh, that is cool.
And they've got a 4-minute side-by-side video. So you get the picture of him basically commentating what he was seeing.
Oh, that's
awesome.
And then
the actual footage. So I thought that was a great way for a shoe company, which has got no relevance whatsoever to it, but to capture a bit of viral attention. No,
but that is the perfect use of social media.
Yeah.
That is classic.
I thought it was to pillory people and stuff like that. So I thought that was really clever. And then in the world gone completely mad, in the world of photography yet again.
Yeah.
This company, what's it called?
Technical Farm?
Technical Farm, new flare adapter. It's a see-through lens adapter.
Right.
So you put your lens on one side, goes to this see-through Perspex lens adapter. So light comes in and creates bizarre light leaks.
I was going to say, isn't that going to allow light leaks?
Yeah, that's the whole point of it. Right. It's a flare adapter.
Right. Why would you want that?
I wonder if you wrapped a flare adapter with like different colours, bits of cellophane around the outside, but you get all these different sort of colours.
I just
don't know.
That is bizarre.
That goes into the basket of just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Next thing you can have lenses that are see-through. Yeah. Then Panasonic announced recently they're coming out with a thing called post-focus feature.
Right.
Basically, what their cameras are capable of doing now is you put on this post-focus shooting mode, and the camera takes 30 frames a second 4K resolution video,
right,
at different focal lengths.
Yeah,
and then it's all one file. Then basically, you just touch on the screen where you want the focus to be. It's a bit like the Lytro camera.
I was going to say, it sounds like the Lytro.
So you can then pre-focus or refocus your shots and stuff like that.
Wow,
which is
that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy talk.
So, another way of dealing with stuffed up focus. Focus properly.
Yeah, there is always that.
But speaking of Lytro coming out with a new image editing software.
Right.
For their Lytro cameras that allows depth-based editing.
Wow. And when they say depth-based editing, what do they mean?
Well, I mean, let's say you want to warm up the sky or cool down the color of the sky.
Oh. Wow.
You can it'll only affect that part of the image, that particular depth.
Whoa.
So the trees in the foreground behind with the sky behind it won't be affected because it's only affecting that layer of depth.
Wow.
That's kind of cool, isn't it?
That's trippy.
That's a whole new revolution in editing. So you won't need masks anymore.
Yeah.
So you can just go to the depth that you need, work on that layer.
That's full on.
That's pretty trippy, isn't it? Yeah.
Wow. That sort of harks back to what you keep saying about, you know, the innovation that's happening in the...
Astounding, isn't it?
It's what a time. Just what a phenomenal.
And if it wasn't for amazing podcasts like the ones out there in the world to listen to...
That's right.
People wouldn't find out about this stuff. Who can keep up with all this stuff? Yeah,
exactly.
And then because we've been talking a little bit about travel storage recently, I came across this company called Oyen Digital.
Yep.
They've got this thing called a Shadow Mini SSD, which looks pretty darn good. It's shockproof up to 1,500 Gs.
Whoa.
No, I went Gs when I saw that.
Yeah.
Not whoa. So a 1 terabyte mini external SSD with this amazing amazing shockproof, and it's 400 megabits a second transfer speed, which is pretty darn useful.
Yeah,
just looks, it's expensive. It's like $430 US, so $500 Australian dollars.
Yep.
But once again, if you're traveling and you sort of, imagine if you're in safari where you're bouncing around all the time or whatever, you want some good protection.
And the beauty of, being an SSD, no moving parts, which means that the power requirements are significantly less than anything.
It requires no external power adapter.
Yeah.
Or custom drivers. It just needs to be plugged into USB.
That's awesome.
Fabulous, isn't it?
And of course, that technology is just going to get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper.
Oh, yeah, that's where we're headed, yeah.
Every day that goes by.
They say there's not a lot of demand for this type of product at the moment, but surely it's got to pick. I mean, that with an SD card reader in it, just to put the SD card in, dump straight across, or even just a way of putting in like a card reader.
Yeah.
It have to be powered then. But pretty darn cool. So I thought, well, that's kind of a cool next line along this little path we've been going on, and we'll keep
for travel. Yeah, back up.
Yeah. And then speaking of travel, I found these other couple of cool little things. Mm-hmm. There's an app for Android and iPhone, Maps.me.
Right.
Maps.me. But it's basically high-res downloadable maps of anywhere you're going.
Downloadable?
Downloaded onto your iPhone or your tablet or whatever you're using. So it's all offline maps. But because what it does, though, when it's on your phone, even if you haven't got a Wi-Fi signal, it uses the built-in GPS system on your phone, so you can be walking along and it shows you moving on the map, even with no Wi-Fi
signal. Wow.
3 or 4G. So I did this in the US a couple of years ago. I'm walking along with my iPad mini with a map of New York on it, and I can see not myself, but I can see a dot moving along. I'm going, hang on a second, this is only a Wi-Fi only. It doesn't have 3, 4G. How is it recognizing me? And it's the GPS thing.
Yeah, right.
Built into it. So these maps, and from what I can tell, it's all free.
Wow.
Which is pretty darn good. And the guy I found this from, he's actually heading to Ethiopia. And there's lots of, he said all his usual places didn't have maps of Ethiopia. Good detailed maps, and this place, we download it, and away you go. So all countries and cities, the entire world is in your pocket, even the smallest islands.
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
Offline search, you can search, auto-suggestion feature searching, you can search, the example using here is like restaurants and food and stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah. That's pretty yeah. Auto-follow mode. When it's on, the map automatically orients itself to the direction you are moving.
Oh, nice.
Very, very cool. So that's a handy little travel thing.
Mm.
And then the last one in that same sort of travel thing was a thing called Solocator.
Right.
And it's an app, once again, Android or an iPhone, which you basically can take a photograph with your phone, and it has a compass built into it. So it shows you not only the geographical coordinates, but also the direction you're pointing.
Oh, wow.
So you've got all that data. And then let's say you're going out on a shoot. You take your first photo on that for the where you're shooting, and you can sync it with Lightroom, so it puts the map data onto your photos.
Oh, nice.
Clever too, I thought.
Nice.
And they're using examples here. You can go into take a photograph for a real estate agent, and they can take a photo of a room, and it shows you which direction the windows are facing.
Wow.
Which is pretty clever.
Yeah.
If you look, I want north-facing windows. You can go through a whole bunch of things and find what that are. Some countries you get the warm afternoon sun if you're facing the way and stuff. So that's pretty clever.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Some funky stuff out there.
The example is in here for drivers. Capture when and where an accident happened, but more importantly, what direction you or others were driving.
Wow.
Isn't that clever? So there's another cool little app. Fabulous stuff. Fire here. We're on fire. Oh, and here's something else. Luminous Landscape. Have you ever been to the Luminous Landscape website?
I haven't. I have heard the name, but no, I don't think I've ever been there.
Apparently, it's like the world's big. They have like over a million views a month or something. Right. So one of the world's biggest photo things. But they're going to a subscriber model, which is what I thought was interesting.
Right.
And what was interesting is...
What were they before?
Well, it was a free website, but they said they're relying on advertising revenue. But they said, they just can't keep going on advertising revenue and keep putting out new information and articles and all this sort of stuff.
Yep.
So they need to change how they're doing stuff. So as of November 30, it's all going behind a firewall.
Right.
But it's going to be but $1 a month.
Okay. Well, that's not exorbitant.
It's fabulous. I think it's great. To save their
and let's face it, if you've got a million people who are all prepared to pony up $1 a month,
12 million a year.
That's not too shabby.
And they're saying they'll have to save effort and time, and it's going to be a $112 fee a year. So it's just all at once.
Yeah, right.
Payments. But so they've got more than 5,000 exciting articles on their site, and and a dozen or so new ones published each month. And all of our existing and future training videos, which up until now have cost $150 a year to subscribe to, are now all included in the membership program.
So for $12. Wow.
$12. Yeah, so it's worthwhile at least looking into, I guess. Yeah.
Well, good on them. I hope it works for them.
I hope it works for them too. That's what I thought would be kind of worthwhile having a gander at and pointing it out. And $12 is not a lot to...
No.
Just flick through the videos. They've got a pretty extensive range of videos to look at, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought well, good on. It's a brave move to. And they're probably saying, well, look, if this doesn't work, there's no point carrying on because the long-term viability is not there. We might as well pack it up now.
Yeah.
So I'm putting words in their mouth, but something like that. Yeah.
Interesting.
So that was it. That was the end of my week. Oh, fabulous things.
Excellent.
And which is awesome because it means, we can go do something interesting. No. I've got this other YouTube doco I want to go watch.
Oh, okay.
Called Dead Men Don't Tour.
Don't tour?
Tour. Yeah, it doesn't go on tour.
Right.
Dead Men Don't Whistle Dixie because they're dead.
Yeah.
Dead
men don't do a lot of things.
They don't. Just stink up the joint, and that's about it.
All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
I hope to. I've got a very, very little on.
Right.
Fabulous. I've got no one-on-ones. I've got no workshops this weekend, taking the weekend off.
Right.
So I was away all last weekend, and it's going to be fabulous.
Excellent.
Fabulous.
Excellent.
Enjoy your heat.
Yes.
We'll enjoy the lovely cool weather down here.
Yep. Well, we're actually meant to be, like, tomorrow's meant to be a top of 23.
Oh, that's not too bad.
So a serious drop from today.
That's certainly manageable, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the last thing? See you later, Mick.
Yes. All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
Oh, well, take care. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email thevoice@shuttersincpodcast.com.